Greetings. Welcome to the How We Do Digital Ministry podcast. I'm Christopher Harris, founder of Faith Growth. You can find us at faithgrowth.com, where we help our church clients build their digital presence and engage with their communities online. On this podcast, I have a conversation with a church leader and ask them to share how they do digital ministry in their own communities. Today, I'm talking with the Reverend Veronica Travis, the shared rector of St. Martin's Episcopal Church in Radnor, Pennsylvania, and Christ Episcopal Church in Ithan, Pennsylvania. Veronica, please introduce yourself and tell us how you do digital ministry.
Well, thank you, Chris. I've been a digital minister pretty much my whole ministry. So I do digital ministry all the time. I do it to connect my two churches so that they feel like they're part of one community, even though they're in two different buildings. So that's one way that we do digital ministry, is to expand the reach of our churches. And then we also do digital ministry now because of the pandemic as a complete ministry production. So people who are not able to come to church, we're doing it online worship, we're doing online prayer groups, and then we're also doing videos for people to sort of support their daily living. So doing a lot of different things.
That's cool. I like how it's helping you connect the two parishes. But before I have some questions about that, but before I ask those, I'm curious, where is a place that you might have experienced or seen God at work online? Is there a story you can share with us about that?
So I think God, I mean, obviously God is online just as God is everywhere, but I usually see God working in ministry in the smaller groups that we have. So if we're having a Zoom Bible study or an online evening prayer service, I've been doing those pretty regularly in the last year or two, bringing people who weren't really sure they were coming into the room to see each other, and then creating an environment of hospitality online is where I see God. So God being present with people who weren't maybe not completely prepared for it. And I think that actually helps people in their daily lives to be aware that God is with them all the time. So when people come to church, they kind of know, well, I'm going into a holy place. But when people come together for an online prayer service, they're in their house or they're, you know, in their car, or they're somewhere that they didn't expect. And then to see how they kind of relax into the liturgy, into the prayer service, and the fact that there are other people there with them who may be familiar, and then it helps them to see God present with them in whatever place they are. I think that's the really cool thing about online, you know, just being online with God, is that it could be anywhere.
It can be anywhere. Yeah, I like that. It's like that, hey, God is there right now with you. Whether you realized it or not, you're taking that moment to make that space holy and have that encounter, as opposed to,
you know, the internet being what it is, sometimes we forget that it can be holy, and it's not very holy at all. But I think it's possible to find God online, and that since more and more people are spending more and more time online, it's important to connect the two spaces for them. Yeah. But they're not really separate.
Yes. Oh, I so agree with that. I like the phrase that you use in there, that you were creating hospitality online. Can you unpack that maybe a little bit and help some of our listeners with any, you know, how do you go about creating that hospitality online? You know, what does that look like, or any special tips or tricks that might help some other church leaders create hospitality online?
So one way that I do it is that I use the liturgy of the church that a lot of people already know. So the Episcopal Church, we already have set worship services for different times of the day. And so when I'm inviting them into the worship service, they kind of know what to expect a little bit. But if they're not already an Episcopalian, then what we do is invite them to just follow along with that worship service. And so because we have a structure, there's already some hospitality in that it's not just, well, I'm going to show up and some people are going to start saying wild things about Jesus. Like, I don't know what I'm going to get into, you know? And then there's also the fact that when you're doing something online, people can kind of preview it if it's recorded. So if you're recording, so talking about my small groups that I have online on Zoom, we don't record those because we want people to feel free to talk and not, you know, feel like, oh, my, my thoughts about the book of Jonah are going to be on the internet. So yeah. We don't want them to feel that way. So we don't record those things. But if we're recording a service that's pretty formal, like the Sunday morning service, we always talk about it like we know there are people out there watching it at another time. And so when I welcome people to the church service on Sunday morning and we're live streaming it, I make sure that I'm also welcoming the people who are watching it online, even if they're watching it at another time.
Yeah.
Because that connects the two spaces for people. And I think when you have if you have a Zoom group that's bigger than 10 people, having like a Zoom usher is always a good idea. Having somebody who's there to say hello, welcome to what we're doing. I don't do this myself because my communities are less Facebook oriented, but if you're doing it on Facebook Live or YouTube Live and you want to connect with people who are logging into your service at that time, you can be chatting with people just like you would on a Sunday morning, welcoming them in the door and making sure they know that they can reach out to people in the church. There's really someone there.
Yeah.
That's something that I think has always been true about digital ministry and digital presence generally, that people feel a little uncomfortable dealing with a website or dealing with a social media profile because they don't know if you're really back there, who's really there. Mm-hmm. And you could be a bot or something, but you know, kind of just acting as though you are a person meeting another person who's come to your church is all you need to do to be hospitable online. So I
like that. I mean, it's really if I was to sum up what I kind of heard you say there, it's like you're taking what we've always done, the historical liturgies of the church, and then you're taking how would we welcome somebody if they showed up at our house or our church? We kind of already know how to do that. It's just now we're doing it mediated with a new tool. And so the principles are the same, and that all still works. It's just we're going to kind of have to get more comfortable with the tools, perhaps, if you're not already comfortable with the tools. I don't know. Would that be a fair summation?
I think so. And I think one of the things that really gives me encouragement is that some of my oldest parishioners have gotten really comfortable with the tools because they want to pray together. Mm-hmm. And they don't just want to watch a live stream. They want to come and talk to me and they want to talk to other people. And they're the people who are showing up for noonday prayer, which I just did online. You know, they're the same people who would normally come in person are doing that, and they're telling their friends they can do it. So we're starting to get a little bit of diversity in that group, but you know, it's usually still the same core of people who would normally be coming to church. And I think one of the things that is a challenge that I'm actually working on is when you're doing that live stream, that's really just a broadcast, how do you connect the people back in who are watching it or who may be watching it in an asynchronous way? So I think the next step for our church is to devise ways for people to come back to us if they watched the Sunday service on, say, a Wednesday night, and they want to talk to me about my sermon. How do they do that? How do they connect in with the church?
I think that's a very good question. So
maybe a form or a thing that follows up with them and says, hey, you watched our service. Do you want to talk to anyone?
Yeah, no, good ideas. So have you made any plans to implement those yet? Or are y'all still?
So that's just, we said we're all coming out of the pandemic, right? Yeah. We're all coming to a new place. And of course, people in my churches are all getting really excited about seeing me in person, seeing each other in person. So I haven't yet been able to implement this idea that there's going to be people online forever.
Yeah.
And you will also have the opportunity to ask people to come online that you might not feel comfortable saying, come to church with me. Or you might feel comfortable saying that, but they might not feel comfortable showing up in person.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to offend you if they don't like it or something. They don't want to try it. But if you said, well, you want to see what my church is like? It's online. And then, later on, I have their email address and I can follow up with them. That's something we haven't implemented yet, but I think we need to going forward so that this isn't just a pandemic stopgap. And it's not a substitute for the in-person connection we have at church. It's really more of a gateway for people who either are watching it because they're not fully connected to a church yet, or they live somewhere else, or they're not able to come to church. It's an extension of our church's ministry. Yeah.
Well, I like that. I like the phrase gateway because, you know, it's a, you know, yeah, the threshold is a little bit lower. I mean, for me to get dressed on Sunday and drive to a building, and I may or may not click with these people, you know, it's a little bit easier to kind of, like you said earlier, can't remember the exact word you're talking about. I mean, it's just a lower commitment for them to kind of hit play and check it out.
They won't offend you because they didn't like it and they never came back, they don't have to do anything but turn it on, you know, Sunday at 2 p.m. when they wake up or whatever, if they're not a morning person.
Yeah.
You know, there's some lowered barriers for people, but then there's also a lowered connection. People don't show up and fill out a little card saying, I visited your church anymore.
Yeah. I think you nailed it with what you were saying before. We're going to have, it's time now that we've made it through pandemic, it looks like, how do we start building those next systems? You know, because this whole last year has really just been about kind of making it up as we go and, you know, making sure the basics were covered of just connecting. And now, okay, how do we build those next systems that allow us to connect better?
Yeah, I think that's the next phase. And then doing something where you find out, I mean, I know how many people are watching the service, but I don't really know who's watching the service.
Yeah.
So I can't really at this stage my technology right now doesn't allow me to do that, but I could see it being a really good tool for later, you know, just reaching out to people and following up on, you know, what their experience was at church and all that. Because I think more and more, you know, it's, I have experiences online that are perfectly real. You know, they're not just some like a separate thing. This is what I'm, you know, I'm connecting with people online all the time.
Well, yeah, they're really immersive and, well, I think it's a word that's overused, but embodied. I don't know. I've been hearing
that. I mean, I think that is a challenge for churches because we really do prioritize embodied in-person, incarnational relationships. So,
well, it's kind of, well, I mean, that's what we built. It's what our whole model has been built on up until now. It was always, okay, we got all this really cool, you know, whether it worship or Bible study, fellowship, service, everything that we're called to do. But it always took come to us first, and we'll go do this. Whether it was worship or even mission and service in the community, it was still kind of like come here, and then we'll go out. And that's a big change for us. But I actually think it's a better change.
Or at least, kind of the idea of service and outreach is also kind of a good segue into people's. That's a good topic that you bring up, because getting into people's daily lives is how I think we invite them into connection with God. Mm-hmm. You know, getting to where they are rather than trying to get them to come to us. We want them to come to us for the ongoing sustaining life that they have here. I want people to come to church to be nourished at the table and to connect with each other and to hear the word of God. Mm-hmm. But the average person who hasn't gotten much of a developed relationship with God isn't going to come to the church for that. They're not, you know, but they may come to something the church is doing in the community to help others.
Yeah.
And if they could just sign up to join and do that all digitally and just show up where the thing is happening.
Yes.
Without having to be a member of the church to do it, I think some people would start to make those relationships. So I think that, you know, your point about, you know, we don't just want people to all come here and then we disperse them out. That's the model that assumes everybody wants to come here.
Yeah.
Already. And that's clearly not working for most of us in the Episcopal Church, because we don't have a lot of people who are like, I really want to go to the Episcopal Church today. that's not out there in their mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and no matter, you know, and no matter how many times, which I believe the statement to be true, but no matter how many times the Episcopal Church says, the Episcopal Church welcomes you, we all of our denominations have some type of welcome statement like that, but I don't think it's that easy. You know, it's, we got to build the relationship before
we can welcome people, but if they never show up, how do we never get a chance to welcome them?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's very nice to see, I see the same thing on like the Presbyterian Church or the Lutheran Church. And, you know, I'm not going to the Presbyterian Church or the Lutheran Church. It's just not in my mind to go do that. And I'm a Christian who goes to church every week.
Yeah.
So I think you already have to have some reason why this place is meaningful to you and you want to go there to be sustained in your faith.
So. Yeah, no, I like that. I love the way you put it, the getting into people's lives. And I mean, and online is such an easy way to do that, because that is where they're spending a ton of their time. And even those that had to work from home from this last year, they're spending more time there. And, you know, so more of their life is online. And, you know, and so we're going to have to get online as a church as well to be there. So tell me what are some of the things that y'all have tried or trying to get into people's lives like that?
Well, the thing that we're trying this summer is with our children's ministry, we're doing, there's a book that we provided for the families. It's called Christ Walk, and it's about walking. It's like walking and doing activities that connect your daily life to like a pilgrimage to God. So you're going for a walk with your kids, but you're also, it gives them prompts to talking about faith with them. So in order to bring that to the families that have not been coming to church because they haven't been allowed to until now, but also because they have more concerns about vaccines and when they'll be safe to go places. And also just the normal kids and families have lots of activities and it's hard to get them all in one place. So we sent this video to them and to the rest of the church where I introduced the concept of going on pilgrimage together this summer and that we want them to reconnect with us as they do these activities. So the book Christ Walk has 40 days of activities and it's structured so that kids and their parents can go for walks and they record the mileage. And so they either wind up, you know, doing one of Paul's journeys in the summer, or they take a pilgrimage that just takes them to the neighboring town, or they take a pilgrimage that winds up being two steps. It doesn't matter how many they do, but they record what they do using their Fitbit or some other device and tell us how many miles they walked, or if they did 15 minutes of prayer time, that counts as a certain amount of mileage, or if they do a certain amount of social activity where they're doing something mission ministry wise for Jesus, then they're kind of going on a pilgrimage with Jesus doing that. And so I just made the video. We made a video here on campus. We have a pretty big campus and we encouraged people to leave the church because they're going to do it anyway and be on vacation, but take Jesus with them and take this book with them and do these activities and let us know. And then we would make a graphic of where everybody went and share it at the end of the summer. So if we all made enough steps to get to Edinburgh or something, then we went on pilgrimage to Edinburgh. Group pilgrimage. So we're going on a group pilgrimage this summer and we're trying to use social media and other ways of connecting people when they're not present, because we already knew that people's typical pattern is to go on vacation in the summer. We also knew that this summer would be a time when a lot of people just want to get away. So we're kind of trying to extend the boundaries of the church for them.
I like this idea on many levels. It pulls in, you know, our, you know, the historical and pilgrim, you know, just the pilgrimage concept and what that, the spiritual discipline, I should say, of pilgrimage, not historical, that was the wrong word. It pulls that in, brings it into a contemporary light. It allows y'all to connect with your people throughout the summer because they're reporting back and they're probably excited to be reporting back on what they're doing. And you've given them some actionable tools as I heard you say, you know, take Jesus along with them wherever they're headed this summer. I love that. And so No, that's, I think that is a, I mean, I'm going to be very curious to see how it works for y'all this summer and hear about, I'll have to check in and hear about it in August and see how it went. Cause I think that's
I think it'll probably be picking up now in July and August as people do start doing more things outside their houses and feeling safer. So.
Yeah, no, that's a really cool idea. They can tag y'all in all their social media posts. We're doing Christ walk today. Or anyway, I'm seeing crazy ideas.
Like, I'm just walking around my neighborhood, but I'm doing it with Jesus. And I noticed this. And a couple of older people also got the book. There's an adult version of the book too, which is more of a personal devotion thing. It doesn't have as many activities as the one for kids. So some of the adults are doing the one for kids because they like that idea. But some of them bought the one for adults because they like the more, you know, I read the book, I go for a walk, I think about it, I share pattern. And so there's something for everybody to do. And the technology is not the main thing. If a person isn't really interested in being on social media, they don't have to use social media. They can email it to me or send a note with a picture of them doing something. They can use whatever method works for them. And I think that's good when you're in a situation where you have people all ages and different comfort levels.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think even though digital ministry is important, it's not really about the technology. It's about another way that we have to share the message of Jesus Christ and connect with people. That's what I like about this. It's like the technology is one piece and can be helpful for people, but you can participate without it as well. So it'll help connect. Some people will probably really enjoy that they had that connection online.
And they just have a reason to write to their church.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like epistolary ministry, like you're writing a letter to your church or whatever you're doing. So,
well, it's like you said, you have to have a reason to go, you know, to show up and like
to talk about it. That's been a real challenge in the time of the pandemic, is giving people a reason to remain connected when the things that they the duties they used to perform at church aren't really there for them anymore.
Yeah, like, I know that's used to do. Yeah. And that was a struggle for a lot of people. It's like, I just always did this. Now I don't know. You know, some of our volunteers, they really struggled with that this last year.
I have people, we're not yet doing the chalice in our church. We're not doing the wine at communion. So I have chalice ministers who are like, I really want to do that again. I can't do that right now. So I'm trying to give them other things they can do to participate. But we'll see. We'll see what they think.
That's good. So is there any particular technology tool that you and your team use that you feel like you can't live without?
I actually have a little one of those camera tripods that has the microphone on top and the windscreen. And that's really what we use all the time for these little short videos.
Is it one of those ones that like connects to your phone?
Yeah. So like you take your phone and you put the camera up and you you turn it around so you can watch what you're doing on this side. And you just basically turn it into a camcorder, and it was really cheap. It was like $60, and it does a much better job of helping. You know, it's easy for a person who's not really well versed in doing digital recording to do it, because they've all made little videos on their phones, so they can take it and put it on their phone, and it makes a better sound. It already works better than, you know, the average thing.
Stable on the tripod.
It's stable. They can hold it in their hand. It's like you can be a tripod on a table, or you can just hold it in your hand. We used it for a hybrid annual meetings where we had two or three people who signed in on Zoom. So we had the Zoom camera on my phone, and it was pointed at what we were doing in the real time in the room. And then there were people who were comfortable coming to the church to the annual meeting in the room, and everybody could participate. I had somebody watching the Zoom in the back of the room. So if somebody typed in a question or said, I want to vote on, they turned in their votes that way. So it wasn't these meetings weren't very high stakes. We didn't need to discuss a lot. They were really the basic functioning of the church, like electing the board members and stuff. But we used this little camcorder for that, and it made it possible for people who couldn't come to church to participate.
Which is important right now, keeping that connection, keeping everybody connected.
I think doing video has been the best way for us to connect with people. We still do the other things. We still email and we still text people and we still do those kind of basic keeping everybody up to date things. But I think the videos have been very, very successful. I've done a few just like me talking about prayer, talking about how you maintain stability when everything is changing. those kind of pastoral messages.
Important messages right now, but also video is very important. I like what you're sharing about that. So I got one last question. What do you think the church will look like in 5 to 10 years?
In terms of the larger, Christian church, I think there will still be many denominations and some of them will be, I think there will be some that are entirely online, that there will be some that where people are just, their services are all online, just like there are people who run churches that are totally on TV now. they run ministries that way. I think for the Episcopal Church, 10 years from now, I'm not sure exactly what I would predict, but I think there will be more of these sort of hybrid services, because we have such a strong, sacramental tradition where we require people to be in person in order to share the body and blood of Christ. We can't really say, well, everything's going online and have fun. So I think we'll have more hybrid things. And I think the church will, in general, benefit from that. But in some cases, we might experience a period of transition where we lose some of the people who are in person, because the people, it's balancing. Like, what do we do to have people be fed and still, reach out to new people?
Yeah, well, and I think, coming from another liturgical tradition like the Episcopal Church, the Lutheran Church is where I hail, the ELCA is where I hail from. And what I kind of really think is, like you said, getting into people's lives, and it's like what I've always been amazed with is we have this rich tradition of the hours and compliance, that growing up, I never felt like we really used that.
Praying all day long.
Yeah, exactly. And now we really have a way to facilitate that easily. Mm-hmm. And then that does, because I never want to give up. And then especially when I put that into festival worship, I don't ever would want all of festival worship to be online. I mean, that just would be no fun. Well, I want banners and streamers and stuff, so
don't want to be online for Christmas and Easter.
But being able to say, hey, we can, we have all this that we can help enrich people's lives further and connect better to the divine. Mm-hmm. And we have that tradition. I wasn't personally using. I don't want to say that nobody was using it, but I mean, it wasn't in use as much as it could be. Or, it was always like, oh, let's go join the monastery. It's like, to really be about that, you almost had to leave society, if you will, and maybe monastic or something like that. And now
we had to go down to the church to pray the daily office with the priest, which is what Episcopalians did. You can go to morning, there are churches that say morning prayer every day at 7:30. But how many people are really doing that before they go to work? Are they're really going down to the church, saying morning prayer, and then getting in their car and going to work? And so we have all these ways, and those already existed. We had apps and we had websites and we had stuff, so people could pray the daily office online with like the whole world, but you were still by yourself. And now I think we have more confidence in just call in a Zoom meeting to pray morning prayer or to pray noonday prayer or to play, and we do it just like we would just to talk about something at work. So I think that'll stay with us. I have a group of people who meet for noonday prayer now on Zoom, and I asked them if they wanted to start getting together again in the church, because that's what they were doing. And they said, no, I think we'll keep doing this till the fall. And I don't know, maybe in the fall they'll say, I think we'll just keep doing this online. Like, I don't know if I need to come in to pray with you in person.
So that's one thing I wonder, like, everybody's really wanting to get back to worship in person, and I think that's valuable, but I'm also wondering, after about a month, are they going to start missing being able to worship in their pajamas or whatnot on the sofa at home. So I wonder how much, what's it going to be like after a few months back in the sanctuary? We'll see.
We'll see.
Well, that is all the time we have for today. And so I want to thank you, Veronica, for being our guest on How We Do Digital Ministry. I want to invite all of our listeners to make sure that they follow or subscribe on YouTube or their favorite podcast app, however they're enjoying this great episode today. Veronica, how can our listeners find you and follow you online?
So following me is easy. You can see all of our church services and prayer times and other things that we're doing at both St. Martin's Church in Radnor and Christ Church Eithin. And you can do that on stmartinsradnor.org, or you can go to christchurcheithin.org. And that connects to some of my own stuff as well, if I'm cross-posting things. So,
well, and we'll be sure to put the links to both your churches in the show notes so people can click right off. I want to thank all of our listeners for listening today. I want to invite you to connect with us in another way. We have a private Facebook group cleverly titled How We Do Digital Ministry. And this is a group where church leaders get together and discuss all things digital ministry for the other 7 days when you don't have this great podcast to listen to. So the link will be in the show notes. Invite you to join that group and join the conversation. Also, that's a good place for you to ask your questions. And we're planning a question and answer show where I'll answer all your questions on the show. So go into the Facebook group and ask any digital ministry questions you might have. And you might hear them on a future episode of How We Do Digital Ministry. All right. Thanks again for listening. Until next week's blessings to you all.